Oh my gosh, we are back again for the first time, for the last time. Don't be sad. This is the show finale of Asian Cult Cinema. My name's Mao, and this was the show that talked about all kinds of crazy Asian movies and cinema from all different kinds of years. It started out probably 2 years ago. We started out doing as Kung Fu Theater, and that's we quickly determined that, you know, if you watch enough kung fu movies, they kind of become a slurry of nonsense in your head, and you can't remember what you're even watching. So then it morphed into Asian Cult Cinema, which is a bit more broad. You know, it could do different stuff. But as all things do, this is coming to an end. And, you know, thanks for... If you've been listening the whole time, thank you. If this is the first time you're hearing Asian Cult Cinema, well, you're not going to hear them live anymore, but you can always go to the audio archive tab and RadioSaintPete.com and, you know, catch up on the back library. They're all in there. It was a lot of fun. I'll say my formal goodbyes till I'm done with talking about this week's movie. You know, I do have some exciting and fun news, though, that there's, of course, with the end of this show, I'm starting up a different show. I have on Saturday nights, I do a show called The Indie Circuit, which is from 10 to 11. And, you know, so I've noticed as I was doing the Asian Cult Cinema, I was getting a lot of music and a lot of stuff I like from Japan and from Korea, like punk and garage and stuff like that. So as I was getting more and more stuff from Benton Labels and from, you know, Time Bomb Records, I was like, well, why don't I just have a second show and it's going to be all that stuff? That way Indie Circuit can focus more on independent music and, you know, which, of course, the stuff I'm going to play on my new show obviously is independent music as well, but it's a totally different ilk. So after my 10 to 11 show, which is the Indie Circuit, I'm premiering a brand new show. Usually Promi's with me too, so it's not just me yammering on. It's going to be called Sake Bomb A Go-Go, and it's I'm really excited about it. So after this last show, the last Asian Cult Cinema, boom, and it's going to be a power block every Sunday from 10 to midnight. Make sure you check it out. That's going to be me and sometimes Promi, and the 10 to 11 is going to be your favorite indie circuit, and then hopefully, you know, you stick around and listen to some of that insane Japanese awesome music that I have, you know, gathered over the years. Lots of Japan Night stuff and, you know, stuff from Time Bomb and, of course, the 5678s, Go Devils, all these. I have so many, you know, so many groups that I've gotten, and I look forward to getting a whole bunch more. Because every time there's a Japan Night, I always get a little care package from Audrey Benton of Benton Records, and it always contains a couple real gems that you're like, wow, never heard of these guys before, and boy, are they awesome. But I digress. That is not why we're here today. Today we are here to talk about, you know, I often reference this throughout this show's history, the Pinky Violence. Now, again, if you don't know what that is, well, let me allude to it a little bit. It's mostly 70s, probably started late 60s. I don't think it made it to the 80s. Genres always kind of continue to go on, but it's a little different. So it's heyday is in the 70s. And Pinky Violence is basically, it's like Lady Snowblood or Sex and Fury or these movies that they're really exploitation, but they're more like sexploitation. There's always almost a revenge tale in there somewhere. There's tons of nudity, tons of violence, and, you know, over the top. It's almost like if you take a Corman, if you Cormanize it a little bit, you know, you take a B movie and you give it a little bit of sex. But these kind of didn't know where the limit was. Pinky Violence, when you're watching the true Pinky Violence movies, you know, they are really, really lots of lewd, crude sex stuff, always nudity, always, almost always involves some type of odd torture or rape, which I don't need that very much, but it's part of the genre, you know. It's like if you like slasher movies from the 80s, you're getting tons of oddities, you know, people getting drills through things and blood pouring out everywhere and whatever else they needed to do because they were continually trying to shock you. That's much like the Pinky Violence is. you know, I have a box set that I bought long ago. It's called the Pinky Violence Collection from Panic House. It was DVDs. This one is out there, but it's one of those that's like, if you have the box set, it costs a lot of money now. It's a nice box. I'm trying to think what all it has. It has Delinquent Girl Boss, Worthless to Confess. That's the same. That's one title. Girl Boss Gorilla, which Delinquent Girl Boss was a very popular one. Then, of course, the one I chose for today is Terrifying Girls High School Lynch Law Classroom. That's, again, one title. I don't know why these have such long titles. Very strange. And then Criminal Woman Killing Melody. So, you know, this is a nice four-disc box set. It also came with a record that the star of many of these, there was a star that was in Reiko Ike. I'm probably murdering the name, but sorry, Reiko. So she's in most of them. She was not afraid to be naked most of the show and that kind of stuff. So she was in a lot of them. So she did a music album. So that's included as well. And there's a nice book set. It's not one that's readily available. I mean, you can find it on Amazon, or not Amazon. I think you can find it mostly on eBay, on the used market. Sadly, this is one of those that it had a limited run, and it was people that are in the know that want it. You know, they're probably paying a little bit more than they should for it. Again, they're fine movies. You know, I like the genre a little bit, but I'm not like, you know. It gets a little bit overbearing with the rape stuff. I don't generally like that kind of stuff in movies. It super villainizes somebody immediately, so it's not like... It's one of those things that's used in a lot of exploitation movies. Not just the pinky violence, but, you know, any blaxploitation, exploitation. It's a quick way to make someone worse than Hitler. So then when they get their comeuppance at the end, or when they get super murdered by somebody, everyone's like, yay! You know, so it's not... It's a means to an end kind of thing. And it, certainly in this one as well, the scene was pretty disheartening in this one, and I didn't care for it very much. But, you know, like I said, my favorites, of course, I love the Lady Snowblood series. That's one of those... It influenced so much. It influenced so much of Kill Bill. It influenced a lot of movies and manga and anime. It's the classic tale of, like, you know, revenge tale from a woman seeking to right the wrongs of the world. So Lady Snowblood, and then of course Sex and Fury was one that I kind of watched, and that's my favorite one of these pinky violence movies. But you know, that's just because it has some insane scenery. Some of the insane scenery in that is so beautiful and so violent, it's hard to even describe. All right, well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I guess we're going to get into Lynch Law Classroom. I'm not even going to attempt to butcher the Japanese name of this thing. I should say it just for a joke on the other side. So we'll see. All right, we'll be right back.
Nervous?
Yes.
First time?
No, I've been nervous lots of times.
On a mysterious island in the South China Sea, there is a fortress without walls, protected by an invincible army that needs no ordinary weapons. This is Enter the Dragon, the first martial arts film produced by a major Hollywood studio. John Saxon, U.S. Karate Champion Jim Kelly, and Black Belt Hall of Fame superstar Bruce Lee. Penetrate the secret chambers of Han's evil empire. Discover its secret and destroy. This is Enter the Dragon, where the world's greatest martial arts athletes meet the ultimate challenge with the most ancient and deadly of weapons, the human body. Enter the Dragon. From Warner Brothers, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
All right, now on to the show. This was directed by Noribumi Suzuki, and I think he's done quite a few of these, according to the IMDb trivia. Let's take a quick verification on that before I speak out of school, or terrifying school, as it were. Yeah, of course, Sex and Fury, Truck Rascals, Girl Boss Revenge, which is a pretty nasty one. Again, Sex and Fury was my favorite one of this whole pile of these pile. Oof, no, you know, it has a girl. What was her name? The Cross Emblem Boss, the cross icon boss, played by Miki Sugimoto. Sugimoto. Again, I'm so bad with Japanese. It's crazy. She starred in almost all of the ones that Riko Ikki did. She was in the Zero Woman. She was in Girl Boss Revenge. She was actually like the boss that came over from Girl Boss. She was like the head boss from that one as well. You know, so the whole story kind of generally, as it's wrapped up here, is kind of said, three new students at a super strict girls' school face off against the oppressive administration, a corrupt politician, and a sadistic student discipline brigade. So, you know, right off the bat, the setting, that's one of the things that kind of makes or breaks these movies for me. And I guess that's, you know, you have the women in prison, you have the high school, you have like almost like the mob underworld. You know, Lady Snowblood was, and Sex and Fury are both kind of set in kind of smaller venue towns, or, you know, kind of fighting Yakuza kind of stuff. This one here, right off the bat, you're in a schoolroom. They're all wearing the school uniforms. I mean, obviously they're not of school age. Some of the extras were, but most of the actresses were, let's say, school was maybe a decade or so past that. But whatever, we let that go. I don't want to see, I don't want to see girls nude anyway. So basically, right off the bat, you start up, there's a torture scene. There's this group, and they all are wearing the armbands. It says Discipline Committee or Discipline Brigade. It doesn't say Brigade. I think it says Community. And there's a girl tied up, and they're cutting her breast, and they're draining her blood from her, and they're making her watch it drip into a thing. And this girl starts flipping out, you know, as you do when you're drained of blood. And at this point, I'm like, wait, are these vampires? Because you don't know where these stories are going to go. They can go all over the place. You know, they are not kind of like what we're primed for with the Hollywood, this equals this happy ending. So she breaks free from this brigade and runs up to the top, and she's fighting pretty good. She picks up a pipe and she's swinging it around. And finally she's hanging over the edge, and this Discipline Brigade starts stepping on her hands, and she's like, whoops, oh, and she falls to her death. And the girls kind of run, they don't run away, they watch it, which is an odd shot, because it's the shot's taken from down there looking up at them, and they're all just on the railing of the roof looking down at her like, yeah, whatever. And then we, you know, smash cut to the principal's coming out with, or the vice principal, I'm sorry, is walking out with the chief of police. And he's like, don't worry, it's going to be ruled an accident. It won't reflect badly on your school. Saving face, blah, blah, blah. Car drives away. They close the gate while the vice president is sitting there looking very stern. And in this world, the principal is like an older guy who's dedicated his life to like making sure the school is very tough and cool. And then, you know, it goes from that scene to an auditorium where he's preaching the school values, and we're here to make women, you delinquent girls are going to be made into, you know, respectable women and wives and that kind of stuff, and that's what this school is about. It's kind of like your last ditch, last stop for bad girls, you know, school. And he seems very earnest, and he seems like a good guy. And then after that, you go to a vice principal. Why do I keep saying president? Vice principal. And he's there, and he's like the stern guy who yells a lot and very uptight salary man, if you're thinking of a Japanese characters. And he's like, oh, you know, he's giving the girls from the discipline group envelopes full of money. And his soon-to-be wife is standing aside of him, and she's very stern as well. She looks like, you know, like the librarian in every Van Halen video that is going to take her glasses off and swoosh her hair and become like, you know, Miss California. Well, that's what she looks like. She's sitting there with a very buttoned-up shirt and looks like a librarian, but, you know, we'll see later she's not that. And so she's... After they give these girls money, they start saying, why is the money so light? And he's like, look, you screwed up by killing that girl. You're supposed to not let them live or die here. Your job is to make sure you torture them into submission, keep them quiet, and then they go away. So, whoops, you murdered somebody, no money, or like less money for you. But the girls are like, okay, whatever, you know. And then they leave, and the uptight woman's like, we should start planning our wedding. And then he drops a little bit of exposition saying, you know, we'll plan the wedding after the big ceremony for the 50th anniversary of this school, or 25th anniversary for our school. I might be wrong on that. Don't quote me. It's some celebration for the school. I want to say 25 or 50. I wish I should remember that. Anyway, so it's this big event. All the chairmen of education is going to be there, and governors, and all these officials and stuff like that. So she says, okay, and then he kisses her. And he begrudgingly kisses her, and then he leaves. And then he goes upstairs, and the head student of the discipline committee grabs him, and they start making out. He gives her more money, and their, you know, sexy time awaits. And gross, because you're old and she's young. But anyway, then they show this group is out. The girls are out at this bar that is run by the school. Here's where things get a little nutty, and you're not sure why. Like... this school has, like, power, you know, like, through political gains, the principal and vice principal have, like, paid off the cops and paid off the local officials so they can do whatever they want kind of thing. And then, so the girls are sitting there in this bar drinking like crazy. These are high school girls. And there's, like, the owner of the bar who's in a kimono and serving them. And some Joe Cool walks up. And he's wearing the trench coat, and he's very 70s cool guy Japan. Very stoic. Kind of think of Sonny Chiba, but not. This is like, you know, a poor man's Sonny Chiba. So he walks in, and he's like, ah, you guys must know a lot about that murder, that girl that died. And they're like, there's nothing to say. And then he's like, I think she was murdered. And they get really defensive, and he's like kind of poking the beehive, saying, well, if you're getting this angry, you must have had something to do with it. Yeah, see, and he never takes off his glasses. He's always smoking. You know, he is like that caricature, you know. So they're like, oh, and they start fighting, and then the lady comes over and is like, let's stop that, and they start cleaning up, and she pulls the guy to the bar, and she's like, look, you know, they run this town, and she kind of gives this guy, he's like, you don't know who he is at this point. She's like, oh, well, the top one there, she's sleeping with the vice president, or vice principal, and blah, 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 and she kind of gives him a little bit of exposition. And he's like, oh, well, and he gives her a stack of money. He's like, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to really cause some trouble here. Here's some money. You keep me informed on what's going on, and, you know. And she's like, oh, maybe I'll land you. And he's like, yeah, probably, but whatever. I'm going to start blackmailing people first, and then we can have sexy time. So he, you know, he's like kind of floating in and out. Right after that, we hear, oh, there's a group of three girls are coming to this school, and they're the baddest of the bad. Now we do like that. Smash cut to how they got there. One girl is real sex crazy, and she just has sex with everyone and makes a truck smash up. And then one girl who's my favorite is Remy Kitano, who's Remy the Razor, and she just slashes people all the time. She's walking down the street in like this cowboy outfit, and she bumps into some Yakuza, and they start, hey girl, don't you do that, and she just pulls out a razor and starts slashing people, and you're like, oh, nice. And then, of course, Miki Sugimoto is Noriko. She's like queen boss, you know, and you don't find this out just yet. Alright, we're going to take a quick break, and then we come back. I'm going to power through this movie. Can we do it? I think we can do it. I know we can do it. You're with me, right? Of course you are.
Silence, Earthling!
My name is Darth Vader. I am an extraterrestrial from the planet Vulcan.
The most fantastic weapon of all time is the Flying Guillotine. Few men have ever been able to operate this death-dealing device, and only one was the Master of the Flying Guillotine. Seymour Bordy and Associates presents The Master of the Flying Guillotine, filmed in Super Cinevision, rated R. Master of the Flying Guillotine. One sure way to get ahead.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Darth Vader from Planet Vulcan. I love that guy. Alright, so back to the story. So now these three, they immediately come in, and of course they're not taking guff from nobody, so they start fighting everyone, and then the vice principal says, okay, discipline committee, you're in charge of keeping these girls out of trouble. So they immediately like rip their clothing off so you can see nudity, and then they're like kind of pushing them around, and these girls are kind of a little bit more defiant. So she's standing, and when they start dumping out their clothing, a cross falls out, a pendant. And one of the girls in the background, her eyes kind of like go like, uh-oh. And then, you don't know why, and then they go up to the top, then they're standing there on the top of the building smoking, you know, how delinquent girls do. And this shy girl comes walking up and she says, you had that pendant I saw in your luggage. She's like, yeah, so what? Because she's like a tough girl boss. And she's like, my friend gave me to Michiko. She said, my friend Michiko gave me this and said if something ever happened, I should find Noriko. And that's Noriko, you know, the girl boss. And she goes, what? And she goes, yeah, they murdered her. And she holds out a matching pendant. And she's like, oh, now I'm really mad. So this girl is like, she was the boss of the girl gangs in, I want to say, was Yokohama? Sorry, I'm not sure. I think it was Yokohama. So she was like the boss of these giant things. And the girl that got killed, Michiko, by this discipline gang, was her lieutenant. She was like that. She was my right-hand person. They killed her. I'm here to kill them. And that you find out, of course, most of these always devolve into the person that's there got there on purpose to seek revenge against the wrong that was done to them. So now she's like, okay, we got to find out what happened, and I'm going to start really running this show. And of course, the Razor joins her, and a couple other toughs join her. Like, there's three girls that Kyoko, Noriko, and Remy are like the three girls that are leading this rebellion. So they're in this thing, and then there's a sex scene where one of the girls, you know, sexes it out of the disciplinary girl. What happened to our girl Michiko? So now they know the whole story. They start these three start pushing back on the discipline group, you know, at various times in various ways. And then and when they're talking about it one day, our Joe Cool is sitting at a bar behind him. He's like, hey, why don't we join forces? I'll help you. I want to take down that school too. You don't really know why. He just does. And they never really allude to why either. That's one of those things where I will say, as American viewers watch Japanese movies, it becomes very apparent that the rules that we live by of everything being tied up in a nice little neat bow do not apply to Japanese cinema. And that's what I love about it. No, sometimes things just don't get answered, don't get resolved. And it's not because it's a bad plot line. It's not because the director doesn't care. They just don't do that like Americans. And that's fine. We shouldn't expect it. So anyway, so he walks over and he saunters over smoking and is like, I want to bring them down too. Let's join forces. And they're like, nah, I got this. And he's like, okay, well, if you need anything, let me know. And he writes his number down on a 10,000 yen bill and saunters away looking cool. So she's like, wow, that's a lot of money. And they're like, well, we'll call on him if we need it. But we won't, because I've run every gang and I'm the toughest in the world. So then they're sitting in class. Now, complete non sequitur. A girl on a motorcycle, who we find out that's Riko Ike, she just comes driving in on this motorcycle, you know, and she's wearing hot pants and she's very 70s, and she drives up through the school, down the hallway, kind of walks in the middle of this, you know, of this classroom while this guy's giving a lecture.
the guy's like, "Who are you doing?" And karate slaps him to the ground, and she's like, "I'm here because I'm trying to find Noriko." And they do this weird thing where they have this stance when she puts her hand out, like almost like open palmed but tilted a little bit, and she's like, I am Maki. I run this, that, the other thing. I'm the queen of all girl gangs, and I'm here to challenge Noriko to a fight to the death. I heard, you know, I've come a long way to kill you." And she's like, "Okay." Well, then they go out to they go out to the middle of this like barrel field. I'm not even sure where this is supposed to be. And they start kind of getting ready to fight. It's just those two. And you're like, "Huh? Okay." Maki comes in, one of the disciplinary, the queen of the discipline group comes walking up and saying, "You can't do that," and she smacks her to the ground like nothing. It was really funny. I like actually busted out laughing. So now they're in this barrel field, and Noriko's like, "Look, I we'll fight. I'm not worried about fighting. I mean, it's fine that we fight. I just ask a favor." And she's like, "What?" And she's like, "Do me a favor. You found me. You know where I am. Give me 5 days. I need 5 days because I'm avenging." She's like, you remember Michiko, right?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, Michiko. She was your best lieutenant. She was a really great fighter, and she was a good person. Blah blah blah." And she's like, "Yeah, well, this group killed him, so I'm here to kill them. And then as soon as I get revenge, then we can have a big fight, and that's fine." And for some reason, then our hero Maki says, "Well, I'll tell you what. If you jump those barrels with my motorcycle, and if you land it right, then I'll give you those 5 days. Otherwise, I guess we're fighting, or you're going to the hospital, whatever." That wasn't defined. So she's like, "Okay." So, you know, girl jumps the barrels. Then our suave dude comes in an army jeep, and he's like, "Hey, I can't wait to see you guys catfight, but why don't you get back to the movie?" And they're like, "Yeah, you're right. We should get back to the movie." So now they break it up, and he's like, I don't know, nobody knows what his shtick is. But now, and there's tons of ins and outs. There's so much, like, plot stuff. Because then, after this girl fight thing, then there's a scene where all the officials from the area are there drinking, and Rico Suave kind of tricks them, and he says, "Hey, you know," he goes to the girl running the bar. She's like, "Watch this, I'm gonna rip them off for 10 million yen each, or something like that." Or 10,000 each. So he is like, "Who wants an orgy?" And then they're like, "Yay, we do." And he's like, "Okay, put on these blindfolds, and I'm gonna take you to the sexy party." So they pay the money, and he goes there, and these girls start like having sex with these guys. And they're all wearing those Kato masks. And then they just pull the blankets off, and they're in a classroom, and he comes out and he starts taking their pictures for blackmailing. And then, you know, and they're like, "Oh my God," and they're running out. And it was pretty funny because one of the guys just totally bites it when he's running away. And I don't know if that was planned or not because he went down. So, you know, these girls are willing to just have sex with whomever, whenever. They don't even care. So he has this blackmail stuff. And then they kind of allude to who this guy is. He's like, "Oh, he was a top journalist. No, first he was a cop, then he was a journalist. Now he's a blackmailer because he's just that smooth." And you're like, "Okay, well, thanks for the exposition." And then now this is the part of the movie that I just don't like at all. Because there was one girl that was very studious. She was the star of this thing, and she really believed in good, and she believed in the political system, and she was studying like crazy. She was the top star of honor student, always very studious, kind of a shy girl, you know. Well, in comes Chairman, who is sporting the most Hitler of Hitler mustaches, and you're like, "Well, this can't be good. That's the Hitler stash. That automatically means bad." So that's the Chairman of all things, and he's walking around. He's like, "Oh yeah, look at me. I'm the Chairman, and I'm very stoic and all that kind of stuff." And yep, and he's looking at pictures, and he's like, "Oh, who's this one?" And she's like, "Well, that's the top student." He's like, "Well, bring her to me." And we're like, "Okay, well, this is Pinky Violence, so I know where this is going." Yep. He rapes her, and it's disgusting. And then he's laying there, and she's in shock. And the way they shot this was, it's gut-wrenching. Because she was calling out for her mother when this guy's raping her. I was like, "Stop, you're making my heart break." Then the guy, Suave, shows up, and he's, like, sitting there smoking his cigarettes, and this guy's like, how dare you disturb me in my house? And he's like, well, I'll tell you what, you're going to give me 50,000 yen, or 50 million yen, who cares, a lot of money, you're going to give me a lot of yen, a suitcase of yen, or you're in trouble. And he's like, how dare you, I can have you killed. And he's like, uh-huh, and he starts tossing pictures of all those congressmen and policemen and all that kind of stuff having sex with girls in high school. Because that's the way the pictures look. And he's like, if you don't give me the money, or if you try and pull anything, you know, they're going, these are going to your opposition. Because he's a political leader. And he's like, you can't do that. And he goes, right. And he walks away. So now this guy's shaking. And the girl, they don't really say anything about the girl, but he's sitting there. And then the girl hangs herself in the school. And it was one of those things where they did it because it was very easy and cheap. I mean, it was one of those things where you're like, this is so super easy to do to make you hate that guy more than anything. So now the delinquent girls are, you know, our three superstars, are they take this, they're like, okay, we got to get this going now. So they take the principal and they like, oh, and they take him to a hotel and they have sex with him and record it. Then they play that over the loudspeaker so he gets fired. Now the vice president's in charge and he's Captain Evil. But now, you know, all his people underneath him are in trouble with this, with these pictures. So she sends his wife to the chairman to keep him busy, which means have sex with him. So Suave comes in, he takes the trunk full of money, and they like actually like tie up the wife of the vice principal and the chairman, and you don't know why, and they throw him in the back of the car. Well, now the fight starts between the discipline. I know I'm trying to rush through this. The fight with the chief discipline girl and Noriko starts going on, and they're fighting, and then all hell breaks loose, and like a riot happens at this school. And during this riot, like there's also this celebration where the vice principal's talking to all the people and saying, okay, everything's fine, you know, the chairman got called to Tokyo for a special appointment, blah blah blah, which he didn't. So Suave comes in, they drop a net with the naked wife and the naked chairman in the middle of the floor. He's like, yeah, there it is. You guys are scumbags, and you're all done. I have your pictures, and even though I got paid, I'm still sending them to the newspapers and stuff. Like, he's really vicious. And the girls start rioting, and the discipline group got beat up, but they don't show them getting killed, which I was like, okay. Because Suave asked Maki to help. And she's like, well, she's my enemy, but okay, I'll help. So now a riot starts. The very end, the school's on fire. They trash everything. They flip the car and burn it. And the car had that 50 million yen in it. And he was like, oh, my money. This is no good. And then the cops eventually take over the school. They put everyone in jail. And the two heads are happy and friends, even though they're still enemies. A good ending. Again, this was a good one, but it wasn't like my favorite. A Sex and Fury is my favorite, or Lady Snowblood obviously is my most favorite. That even has a Criterion release, which you should all go out and get. Look at me telling you how to spend your money. Anyway, that's it. Very fun. If you don't know Pinky Violence, you better have a strong stomach. But some of them are pretty good. Well, okay, wrapping up time. I'm going to get all emotional. I want to thank everyone who has been listening over the weeks and months and years. And, you know, make sure you come tune in Sunday nights or go to the Audio Archives tab and start listening to Saki Bama Go Go and my other show, Indie Circuit. Thank you, one and all. It's been a great time. It's been a great honor. And, hey, keep watching them movies.